Woman, Wilderness, 1986. In June of 1986, Gary Snyder invited me to come talk to his class in Wilderness at the University of California at Davis. I told him I would say a little about women and wilderness and read some poetry, mostly from my book, Always Coming Home. What follows is what I said before getting into the reading. Highly tendentious, it was meant to, and did, provoke lively discussion. Civilized man says, I am self, I am master, all the rest is other. Outside, below, underneath, subservient. I own, I use, I explore, I exploit, I control. What I do is what matters. What I want is what matter is for. I am that I am, and the rest is women and the wilderness, to be used as I see fit. To this, civilized woman, in the voice of Susan Griffin, replies as follows. We say there is no way to see his dying as separate from her living, or what he had done to her, or what part of her he had used. We say if you change the course of this river, you change the shape of the whole place. And we say that what she did then could not be separated from what she held sacred in herself, what she had felt when he did that to her, what we hold sacred to ourselves, what we feel we could not go on without. And we say, if this river leaves this place, nothing will grow, and the mountain will crumble away. And we say, what he did to her could not be separated from the way that he looked at her, and what he felt was right to do to her. And what they do to us, we say, shapes how they see us. That once the trees are cut down, the water will wash the mountain away, and the river be heavy with mud, and there will be a flood. And we say that what he did to her, he did to all of us. And that one fact cannot be separated from another. And had he seen more clearly, we say, he might have predicted his own death. How if the trees grew on that hillside, there would be no flood. And you cannot divert this river. We say, look how the water flows from this place and returns as rainfall. Everything returns, we say, and one thing follows another. There are limits, we say, on what can be done. And everything moves. We are all a part of this motion, we say. And the way of the river is sacred. And this grove of trees is sacred. And we ourselves, we tell you, are sacred. What is happening here is that the wilderness is answering. This has never happened before. We who live at this time are hearing news that has never been heard before. A new thing is happening. Daughters, the women are speaking. They arrive over the wise distances on perfect feet. The women are speaking. So says Linda Hogan of the Chickasaw people. The women are speaking. Those who were identified as having nothing to say. As sweet silence or monkey chatterers, those who were identified with nature, which listens, as against man who speaks. Those people are speaking. They speak for themselves and for the other people, the animals, the trees, the rivers, the rocks. And what they say is, we are sacred. Listen, they do not say nature is sacred, because they distrust that word, nature. Nature as not including humanity, nature as what is not human, that nature is a construct made by man, not a real thing. Just as most of what man says and knows about women is mere myth and construct. Where I live as woman is to men a wilderness, but to me, it is home. The anthropologists, Shirley and Edwin Ardner, talking about an African village culture, made a useful and interesting mental shape. They laid down two circles, largely, but not completely overlapping, so that the center of the figure is the tall oval of interlap, and on each side of it are facing crescents of non-overlap. One of the two circles is the dominant element of the culture, that is, men. The other is the muted element of the culture, that is, women. As Elaine Showalter explains the figure, all of male consciousness is within the circle of the dominant structure, and thus accessible to or structured by language. Both the crescent that belongs to men only and the crescent that belongs to women only, outside the shared central civilized area of overlap, may be called the wilderness. The men's wilderness is real. It is where men can go hunting and exploring and having all-male adventures away from the village, the shared center, and it is accessible to and structured by language. In terms of cultural anthropology, women know what the male crescent is like, even if they have never seen it, because it becomes the subject of legend. But men do not know what is in the wild, that is, the no man's land, the crescent that belongs to the muted group, the silent group, the group within the culture that is not spoken, whose experience is not considered to be part of human experience, that is, the women. Men live their whole lives within the dominant area. When they go off hunting bears, they come back with bear stories, and these are listened to by all. They become the history or the mythology of that culture. So the men's wilderness becomes nature, considered as the property of man. But the experience of women as women, their experience unshared with men, that experience is the wilderness or the wildness that is utterly other, that is in fact, to man, unnatural. That is what civilization has left out, what culture excludes, what the dominants call animal, bestial, primitive, undeveloped, unauthentic, what has not been spoken, and when spoken, has not been heard. What we are just beginning to find words for, our words, not their words, the experience of women. For dominance identified men and women both, that is true wildness. Their fear of it is ancient, profound, and violent. The misogyny that shapes every aspect of our civilization is the institutionalized form of male fear and hatred of what they have denied and therefore cannot know, cannot share. That wild country, the being of women. All we can do is try to speak it, try to say it, try to save it. Look, we say, this land is where your mother lived and where your daughter will live. This is your sister's country. You lived there as a child, boy or girl. You lived there. Have you forgotten? All children are wild. You lived in the wild country. Why are you afraid of it?